Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS, International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simeon's, he said to them, "Go out and put out a little bit from the land." And he sat down, and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep, and let your nets out for a catch." But Simon, he answered him. He said, "Master, we toiled all night, and we took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats. So they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with them, they were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken in. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats into the land, they left everything and they followed him. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in today's gospel lesson, we've mostly all have heard this our entire life, all the way from Sunday school and VBS all the way up. When Jesus was out in the water with Simon, and Simon couldn't catch fish, you could sense the pressure that Simon was under. Being a professional fisherman, he had no plan B. He had no other way of making money. But not only was he providing for himself, he was providing fish and food for his entire community. The stress that these fishermen must have been under must have been heavy, especially when they think about the responsibilities that they had, and to bring home nothing. And then Jesus says to these professional fishermen, "Why don't you try this again? After you've been doing this all day long, why don't you go out into the deep water again?" And Simon says, "I don't think that's going to work, but I'll try." So he goes out in the deep of the water and he casts his nets, and the nets are so full of fish that they were bursting. They bring in other boats or another boat. The boats are bursting with fish to the point that they were almost sinking. And they saw that and they were in absolute awe of Christ. Now, as a pastor, when you open up a text like this, there's so many different ways that you could teach and preach on it. You wonder, what is the right way to apply this? So usually you kind of think about the people in your life over the last few days or months that you've been interacting with. So for this morning's gospel lesson, it reminds me of at least a couple of ways that we can apply this text to our life. The first is that God calls you to walk by faith and not by sight, trust, just as our hymn alluded to. And then secondly, that God takes care of you both physically, but even more importantly, that God is taking care of you and is at work in your life, taking care of you spiritually. One of the most well-known scriptures of St. Paul is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says that we walk by faith and we walk not by sight. In times of financial peace, when you get an email that says you might want to look at your paycheck because there might be a cost of living augmentation, that's easy. In times of good health, it's easy to trust in Christ. In times when you and your spouse are getting along, it's easy to walk by faith. When you get back from your honeymoon and everything is rosy, that's easy to trust in God. But it's hard sometimes when you feel like the whole world is against you. If you're like most people, It's hard to walk by faith when there's uncertainty in the economy, or when you're starting to prepare for retirement and you're looking at the numbers and you're thinking, how am I going to do this whole retirement thing, whether it's emotionally, morally, financially. It's hard to walk by faith sometimes when your spouse is not kind or respectful. It can be hard to walk by faith when your young children or your adult children aren't behaving themselves. It's hard to walk by faith sometimes when you go to the doctor, and one of the most depressing times of my year is when you go to the physical and you meet with the nurse at the beginning. They talk about all your medical conditions, and you talk to the doctor later on and he says, I have another prescription for you on top of all your others. I think, though, that many people hesitate at the idea of walking by faith in God because they have a misunderstanding or a misconception about trusting in God. Trusting in God doesn't mean that you don't care. It doesn't mean that you don't try. Peter tried all night to catch fish, but he trusted in God's guidance and his leadership in his life. If your marriage is in a crisis, you should be talking to your pastor and a counselor. If your loved one is sick, you should take them to the doctor. If you're in debt, you should be actively trying to get out of debt and paying that off. Trusting in God doesn't mean that you don't care about your life, but rather that you know that there is hope in the midst of chaos. An aspect of having faith means that you know that there's a God who loves you, cares for you, and is getting you through this. That you have a God that died for you, that you're his child. But sadly, so many people are in a crisis and they stop trusting in God and they stop hearing his word and they start walking by sight and they start taking bad advice from friends, which goes against the word of God. Peter couldn't understand why God was leading him out into the deep waters, but God had a plan. It was to care for Peter and his community and to provide for Peter and to show Peter God's greatness. Maybe right now you feel a little bit like Peter at the beginning of this story, like you're sailing out into the deep, like you don't know exactly what the end of the story or the end of the next few months or couple years is going to look like. Well, remember this, that God is in control. He is almighty. He's all powerful. He is providing for you. He's leading you. Maybe you just don't see where that is yet. One thing that's beautiful about this passage is that God is faithful to Peter, and Peter didn't even ask Jesus for help. But Jesus knew exactly what Peter's needs were, and God knows what your needs are, and God is caring for your needs. But that's when we live by faith, trusting that God will see us through even the most difficult times of our life, when we don't even know the things that we need or how we need to be helped. Many times I do this when I feel overwhelmed. I reflect back on all that God has done in my life. 30 years ago, I never would have thought that I would ever have graduated college, let alone gone to graduate school or seminary. 30 years ago, I never thought I would be married to my wife. 30 years ago, I never thought I would have ever left California, let alone lived in Indiana and Alabama and Missouri and been a missionary in Latin America. Never thought I would know Spanish. Never thought I would ever have worked at the International Center. Not even 11 years ago would I have thought that. But along the way, there were huge setbacks, huge hardships, lots of uncertainty, lots of unknowns. But as I look back, I can see God's faithfulness. I can see his blessing, even during the hardships and the setbacks. But I'm sure you also can do the exact same thing in your life. As you reflect and you look back on the last 10 or 20 or 50, maybe 60 years of your life, you can see the fingerprints of God all over your life as he has been leading you and guiding you and guarding you and blessing you and getting you through your entire life. Not just economically, not just within your relationships and your kids, but also spiritually. But remember where your source of strength comes from. Your strength is in the Lord. Although you feel the pressure to be the strength for your family and to be the strength for your friends, the source of your strength is found in what Jesus did on the cross for you. And even if you lost all you had here on earth, you would still have God's love and God's forgiveness, and you'd still be a child of God. Let me say that again. The source of your strength is found in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you. And even if you lost everything here on earth, you would still have God's love. You'd have his forgiveness. You'd still be his child. And isn't it great to know that your relationship with God is not dependent upon your earthly success? That if you have the right title or enough income or enough fame or enough power somehow on earth, that you then have God's love. It's not about you or your perfection. It's about Christ and his perfection. It's about the success that Christ had on the cross that gave you the forgiveness of sins and a new life in him. The reason that God became a man and died on the cross is not so that you will have more fish, as our story would say, or that you would have more money. The reason that you are a Christian isn't so that you have better behaved children or a better looking spouse or even a raise at work. This world is broken and it's falling apart. And our only true hope is found in Christ's death on the cross. And because of Jesus' death on the cross for you, you have the confidence of heaven. So from this morning's gospel lesson, we're reminded that as Christians, we are called by God to walk by faith and not by sight. And we're reminded that God is almighty, he's all-powerful, he has everything in his control, even the very fish of the sea. So in the middle of your struggles, in the middle of life's cruelties, remember that you are loved by God. Remember that you are so important to God that he sent his only begotten son to be tortured and killed for you. Remember that you're so important to God that he sent his only begotten son to call you his child. Remember that the Holy Spirit is now living inside of your heart, that he is guiding every single day of your life. Remember that Jesus is constantly praying for you, that he's interceding for you. Even when you don't know what to pray for, and he's interceding against the attacks of the devil, that you don't even know he's trying against you. And remember that it is God that is keeping your life together, even when it feels like it's going off the rails and falling apart. Remember that God is a healer. And just as this world can tear you down and rip you apart, it is God who is at work and will one day fully heal you and make things all whole again. Now may this grace, which surpasses all understanding, may guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, who is this world's only Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit KFUO.org/chapel.